Oh man, can't wait to do another podcast with Dan as soon as he gets here.
All right, pizza time. Anybody got $30, bro?
Hey, pizza man. You know what? I did order a pizza.
Yeah, and I'm here. Really pizza genie.
All right, man. Well, here's your money, and thanks for the pizzas. Everything
Dude,
looks good.
It is totally my pleasure.
Oh, awesome.
Do you like, what are you doing?
Oh, we're just doing a podcast here. I'm just waiting for my buddy Danny.
Oh, that explains
here so
all the
it.
Mics. Oh.
Yeah.
I like, do you think I could, I don't know, hang around and maybe do the podcast with you?
I mean, you sound like you'd probably be as good as Dan doing the podcast, so, yeah, sure, buddy.
Sweet, bro. So, what is this podcast about?
So we review independent films.
Wow, from I love independent films.
Low budget, no budget, and, you know, we review, what's that?
I said I love independent film, bro.
Oh, that's get on what a quinky dink.
Get on my plane. I even watched an independent film of the weekend. You ready? It was called Redville. You heard of it?
Oh, that's really weird because Dan and I watched a film called Redville, so it's good that you've watched it too.
That's like so next level universal plane. I don't fucking know.
I was going to say, are you the guy from Redville? That's where I was going to take the bit. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show.
I am Pizza Guy. Pizza Guy is Bay. Pizza Guy is not Bay. Well, he is Bay, but he is the most important character in this film, and he's played by the actor. He's actually the gaffer and production assistant. He had a lot of different roles, but his most important role in this film was Pizza Guy, I think.
Wait, who is this? Who's talking right now? I'm so confused.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Dan. The Pizza Guy.
Whoa.
Pizza Guy, I tied him up, and I'm forcing him to call back Pizza Hut, and I'm demanding a ransom with
I love
with
how
pizzas.
All of our terrible characters, we usually just tie them up. That's how we say what happened to the character. Like, oh, that character I was playing? I've tied him up.
Yeah, no, I really, really want pizza, so like I don't have any money, so I'm holding the pizza guy for ransom and contacting Pizza Hut Corp. And hopefully
we
can...
because then now they have to give you more pizza.
Exactly.
How we say, a perfect plan.
Perfect plan.
A perfect plan.
So, but you were going to start the show without me, though. Like, what was going on there?
Oh, that? I mean, I don't know, man. He seemed like a nice guy. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, he's in my basement now. I don't even have a basement. That is how outrageous my bits get. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Jared, we watched Redville, as you previously stated.
Yes.
I overheard.
2020 by Deadlift Productions.
Deadlift Productions. Who directed it?
Sean Cranston and Scott Thompson wrote it, and he also stars as the adult version of Julian, who is like the mayor character.
Nice. Cool. So, here we go. Redville is about a group of teenagers. They're partying hard. It's the last summer they have. Last summer they have until they go off into adulthood, and they all have their own aspirations. And then something happens at the party, and it gets one of the characters super pissed off, and he stops talking to him for 20 years.
Like,
fast
oh
forward,
my God.
Fast forward 20 years. That guy has a wife that he met at that party.
Dun, dun, dun.
And?
Oh, no.
Something happens to her, and as a result, he has to reconcile with all the friends that he was pissed off at that party. And that's basically what the film is.
Mm-hmm. It's a coming together after a long time of them being apart.
And a long time of him being angry, like a 20-year-old grudge between friends. So, Jared.
Yes.
We're going to do things a little differently. This time.
What?
Ready? Because normally we break into questions at this point, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a choice. I have the power to give you a choice this round. Ready?
All right.
And by round, I mean episode. I don't know why I said round.
It's a game show.
Exactly. Anyway, here's your choice. We can either A, go to questions first, or B, you get a surprise first.
Oh, I want my motherfucking surprise right now. I'm an angry little baby, and I
good,
want it.
Good. So you know how this was produced by Deadlift Productions?
Yes.
So here's something cool. The whole film has awesome indie metal. Like, I love independent music. It's so fucking great.
I looked up
the band because, like, I wanted to know who did it. And at the end of the credits, I'm like, oh, okay, Deadlift did these songs. So I'm like, wait, Deadlift as in Deadlift Productions? So I looked them up online. They have a website. Their band is called Deadlift. And all of four main characters are in a band together. And all their music is there.
Yo!
So, also, if you go to deadlift.com, here, I'll paste you this link.
Deadlift.com.
Deadlift.com. If you go there and you click on it, they advertise that this was a fucking Troma production.
What?
Like, they link to the Troma site. So that means that Troma financed part of this film, I think.
That's cool.
It's fucking awesome. Oh, I'm so happy. But yeah,
Rocking hard since 2000.
I looked up Deadlift. If Deadlift is listening right now, you guys are awesome. You have a new fan in me. I love supporting independent artists, especially musical people. And you guys are really killer. Because, like, your website says don't classify us, but you guys have some pretty awesome metal. You guys have some pretty awesome hard rock for sure. I'm looking forward to listening to more stuff from you. But we're gonna review your movie now. So here we go.
Damn, dude, that's so cool. Don't classify me, bro. You get it? Because that one meme, like, a long time ago, everybody forgot when the guy got tasered. That's still funny, right?
Yeah.
I know what... I'm, like, really good with memes, okay? All right. Just want to make sure everyone knows.
So, going into questions, Jared.
Yes.
How many scenes in this film, like, made you, I don't know, like, gasp or made you surprised? Like, whoa, like, you weren't expecting it.
Well, the ending sure made me go, what the fuck? There were certainly a few, I'd say at least two.
Yep, me too.
At least two. Yeah. How did you feel about the pacing of this movie?
I was engaged throughout. It didn't bother, like, there was nothing that was wrong with the pacing, in my opinion. Like, it might have been slow in some areas, but, okay, so I guess to answer the question with a different perspective. Sure. It wasn't necessarily a pacing issue. It just, by the time I got to like the 50 minute to an hour mark, I'm like, where the fuck is this film going? Like, what can they do in the last 15 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, so I feel like the first 30 minutes, they're really following, building up these characters and getting into what the arc, like the real meat and potatoes of what the film's going to be. So I'm liking that. We're getting to know the characters. But then once we get into, like, the big action or whatever of, like, what the film is about, I had no idea. I was so, like, surprised by it. I was like, this is crazy. Where are we going to go with this? And I was like, well, I basically thought the same thing you thought of. Okay, it seems like we've kind of taken, we've finished what the main thing of the story was. Where is this movie going to go after that? And I do feel like that third act was a little weak of like, what are we doing here on this last part? But I thought the pacing was actually pretty good up until that last 15 minute.
See, I didn't have a problem with pacing, but like, it was just like, yeah, it's that, I don't want to say that I had a problem with the last 15 minutes. I was just, I'm like, I can't predict anything. Like there's no resolution that I can see happening here. So I was completely surprised by that last 15 minutes for sure. My question, Jared,
sure,
as some of you might know, I teach high school.
He teaches a high school.
Yes, I teach a high school.
You stand outside of high school and you
I'm
teach
a high school
it.
Teacher. I gather all the high schools and I teach them. Anyway,
that's right.
So on a serious note, you know how all the kids were at the party and they were talking to each other and drinking beers and smashing them against their heads and smoking that ganja. Well, they were talking about their teachers, and I'm like, do my students go to parties and talk about me like this? Can you answer that?
Yes.
They do?
Yeah. And they're like, what a fucking pretentious piece of shit.
That's why I don't show them this podcast, because they would make fun of me endlessly.
No, I don't remember. I don't think I ever talked about my teachers unless I didn't like them.
Mr. Jones is such a dick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So how did you feel about the acting of those young kids? This might be a pointed question.
it was okay. It was hit and miss. Like, some of them were on the mark and the others were like, oh, God.
Let's just say I was happy when the adults showed up. I was like, all right, this is much better. Much better acting
from
these adults.
Well, okay, wait. I think I had a note about that. Okay, yeah. So this is exactly my note. It's about the child actors, and child actors, teenage actors. I think you're going
to
agree with this.
They're children to us. They're children.
Yes. I think you'll agree with this. But some actors don't know how to disguise the body language of trying to remember their lines.
Mm-hmm.
One of them in particular, like, you could tell he was fumbling trying to remember something. And it's like, maybe another take.
Hey, you know what I did like, though? So, I did like... Well, okay, we're going to get into spoilers for this movie.
Okay.
If you want to see Redville 2020... How did we watch it?
We watched it on Film Freeway. I don't think it's available anywhere yet. Like, it says... I don't know. It says Redville trailer about the band. Missed the Redville premiere coming to 20... Oh, okay. So, coming in 2021, Redville will be available to watch on Troma. So, it's going to be on the Troma website. It's just not there yet.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. So yeah, go check it out. We're going to spoil it right now. This is the spoiler warning. We're going to talk about things that happen in the movie. Spoiler warning. Okay.
That was a wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you. Because I feel like sometimes I just say it's a spoiler warning and then we go right into spoilers. I want to give a buffet, if you will. Yeah, a little buffet.
I like going to Chinese buffets and ordering
I love it. Rice. So good. Except for you gotta stay away from that seafood at the buffets, because you don't know how long that seafood's been sitting out on the lamp, you know what I mean?
I know.
Might not be so fresh. You ever get that not so fresh feeling?
Yeah, but I also
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just gonna go listen to Jimmy Buffet. Leave me alone, all right?
Oh, dude. So good. We're so funny, bro.
No, we're not. But thank
the
you
pizza guy's back, bro. Hey, we make ourselves laugh. That's the only thing that matters.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay, so let's get into this movie. What I was going to say is, I liked how in the beginning part of the film we have the young kids and the aspect ratio is smaller,
mm-hmm.
and it feels more grainy and like,
because
it
was
like
it's set in 1999.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love that. I was like, if the entire movie looks like this, I'm totally fine with mm-hmm. it, for sure. Because, okay, if you want to trick at least me into giving you more points for your film, make it black and white, drop the aspect ratio, film on actual film, just make it look film grainy. I'm pretty dumb. I can't tell the difference.
Yeah, I love putting film grain on my shit, for sure.
Whatever you can do to pretension, just make it more pretentious, I'm gonna like it more. Be like, oh yes, so artful, and yes, he's intentionally made his film look bad. I like it now more because I'm flawed as a human being. Anyways, that was cool. I really like that. And then when you get into the film proper, it's still kind of like letterboxed, I guess. Is that the mm-hmm. right word? Where it's like the top and bottom are, they have like the black bar, but it's still, it looks nice. I'm kind of glad it did actually open up. But I'll say I like the way this film looked.
Yes, no, 100%.
That is what I'm trying to get at.
I don't know. I didn't look up what they used to shoot it, but definitely it was a very nice-looking film by our standards. I have to agree with that.
Yes. I mean, we'll agree this is a micro-budget film, too,
absolutely.
By the way, so keep that in mind.
But like, also, again, like, it's so fun to watch these films where these people are just pouring love into it. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not designed to, well, maybe it is. Maybe it is designed to make money, but it's more designed to just tell stories. And that's really what it boils down to.
Well, it's kind of like our podcast too, right? I mean, like, we do this because we like doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
But if we eventually did make money off of it, that would be nice. So I feel like it's the same with anybody who makes a thing. Well, I mean, I give more credit to people who are making these films and not us reviewing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it's so easy
to take a shit on it. Hey, guys, get ready to get shit on it, right?
It's a lot harder to put yourself out there and make a thing and then be like, okay, what does everyone think of the thing I made, than people who are critiquing it.
Yeah.
So I put them above us for sure in like all aspects of creating art. I think my hats off are my hats are always off to you, is what I'm saying.
Jared doesn't wear hats.
I don't wear hats.
Because he's not able to wear a hat because he's always taking the hat off to creative people.
That's right. Just constantly. It's either that or the national anthem keeps playing wherever I go. I'm like, God damn it. And the rock is clear. All right. Why do I even carry this hat around? I need to just get rid of it.
What the fuck? That's good. All right, let's talk about some of these scenes.
Sure.
This film surprised me in a couple different areas. Like, there's this really awesome scene where the main character whose wife is having an affair with him. Did I talk about that? Have we said
Oh,
that
yeah.
Yet?
Let's do like a general synopsis of how this film flows.
More spoiler synopsis. This guy, Tony, who got upset at the high school party, he has a wife who he met at the party. She's having an affair with him, and she is at a hotel, and on her way home from the hotel, she has a car accident, and she dies.
She's having an affair with someone else, because she was married to Tony. Yes. Okay, want to clear that up.
Yes. Okay. Then the high schooler Julian, the character Julian in this film, he has aspirations to become mayor. He wants to run the town. So he actually becomes mayor, and
he's running for re-election, right?
Yeah. He's running for re-election, but knowing that his friend Tony is in town, or he's been in town, and his wife just died, he wants to be there for him despite having this 20-year grudge. Or Tony has the grudge, not them. So he kind of inserts him and his buddies, the other two people that were, like, they're four friends, essentially. He inserts him and his friends into Tony's life, and Tony doesn't want the help. Mm-hmm. Because Tony's trying to take matters into his own hands and kill the person that he thinks is sleeping with his wife.
So here's the characters. We got Jules, who grows up to be the mayor, like you said. He's trying to get reelected. We got Tony, who
grows up to be a writer.
And he's a real piece of shit, and I'm going to get into that later. And then we have Brian, I believe, who moves to California, and he's kind of like a family man, but his wife, like, really wants that D, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was, like, a strange scene of...
No, dude, that scene was so bizarre because she's, like, Mr. something. I'm like, did he just sleep with one of his students? Like, what the fuck?
She's like, are you going to come punish me later or something weird? And I'm like, huh? And then we find out he's married to her. And I'm like, oh, it's some weird kinky shit they're doing. Okay. All right, I'm into it. And then we got Joe, who becomes a used car salesman. Now,
probably my favorite character.
He's fantastic. He's so good. I like Joe a lot. But here's the deal. So, I mean, I think everyone does good. But
they all do great. But in terms of the narrative, Joe's my favorite character.
Yes. Yeah. I would 100% agree. So we have Tony when he's young. Tony is with this girl, Mandy, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes off to like hit on another girl and get her phone number. That's the girl he eventually ends up marrying. So he's already like going to cheat on his girlfriend. So then his buddy Joe goes to the girl he's ignoring and basically going to go cheat on. He's like, hey, I think you're really pretty, blah, blah, blah. You should get, you know, like, maybe me and you should be together. So then they kiss at the party. Joe gets mad at him, even though he is cheating on his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole thing. That aspect of it, I thought was so interesting. But then they never cover that again. They never come back and say, hey, you know, Tony's being a real piece of shit. And his 20-year grudge that he had against his friends was actually not justified because he was a real slime ball.
Well,
that never comes back. It's always like, oh man, Tony, we're so sorry we treated you so badly. And then everything works out for Tony, and it actually made me mad.
That's what I was saying. So, like, it's kind of par for the course for this film. It's
what,
like,
is going
these
on?
Guys, this group of men, grown men, get away with a sloppy ass murder. Like, there's no way that they could have gotten away with this.
Well, that's a whole other thing. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I feel like there could have been way more tension or some self-realization, because Tony does not deserve to get the girl. He doesn't deserve any of that stuff. I mean, there is a big twist at the end that doesn't make any sense.
I thought it made sense.
My eyes just rolled back into my head and reset back to where they should be.
I like the twist, actually. Let's talk about the twist. All right.
Can we just talk about it? All right,
so at the end of the film, they have gotten away with murder because they killed this guy that Tony thought was cheating on his wife with, because he brought flowers to the house randomly for some reason. And it turns out it wasn't him.
Exactly. That guy. Wait, let's talk about that scene really quick. Okay. So this dude named Sam shows up with flowers at Tony's house. His wife has just passed away. Sam doesn't know that the wife has passed away, I guess. There's a long, long scene of him knocking on the door and looking in the window. I feel like that whole scene, they could have just cut that way shorter. I don't know why it was so long. He opens the door and they have an exchange and he's like, oh yeah, I'm just here to give flowers to your wife. And I'm like, what? And he's like, well, who the hell are you? He's like, I'm named Sam and I'm just here to deliver flowers to your wife. Is your wife home? And it makes it so obvious that this is the guy that... Mm. But like, if you were... All right, let's do a hypothetical.
Okay.
All right. You cheat on wife. Or like, no. You cheat. You cheat with lady who has husband, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to go to that person's house and deliver flowers?
No.
While the husband's there?
No, absolutely.
And be like, hey, husband of wife I am boning right now, I'm going to give your wife flowers. Is your wife home?
Because I'm having sex with her. He showed up to the door boning his wife? Like, he walked her?
I mean, there was some current boning... Like...
He rings the doorbell.
He's having sex with the house? Well, I mean, it's implied boning. It's implied boning, Dan. It's not.
Yes, I get it. Boning. Yes.
But you know what I mean? The whole scene doesn't make any sense. But I like where the escalation went. I feel like they could have...
Dude, all of the escalations in this film are incredible. Like, this film made me go, whoa, like three times. Yeah. Crazy.
Here's what they could have done. He shows up. He knows that the wife... has passed away, but he had a romantic relationship with her. So he's bringing flowers to say, hey man, you know, I feel really bad about what happened to your wife. Blah, blah,
that's
blah,
what I thought was happening.
And then he goes, okay, well, who the hell are you? How do I not know you? Like, oh, my name's Sam. I'm a friend of your wives and your wife. And then we know that this is the guy who's been cheating. Because we have the locket that Tony finds earlier that says, love to Sam from, you know, Tony's wife or whatever. So, like, he knows, okay, Sam is the guy who's been boning my wife. But the big reveal, Dan.
Yes. Okay, so he goes to a bar. They all are at a bar, like, I think it said 10 months after the murder. Like, everything's fine. They all got away with it. Bear in mind,
they all got away with murder.
By the way, just to reiterate, one of the people who's involved in this murder is the mayor of the city,
who is now in the pocket of the police because they get pulled over, and the cop is like, "You owe us a big favor."
Exactly.
So they don't know about the murder, but they know they were all driving drunk together.
Exactly. Anyway, so they're at this bar, and he sees his old girlfriend from that party, and they hit it off again, right? And they have a date or two, it's implied, and then they wake up in the bed naked, so it's implied that they had sex. And she gets out of the bed, and he wakes up, and because her phone is ringing, and it says mom's calling. And he goes through her phone, as one does to your one-night stand.
Absolutely. Totally nothing wrong with this.
He goes through her pictures that, because she's like, let's take some pictures. And
oh my God.
The first thing on this camera roll, because he scrolls back all the way to the first thing on her camera roll, is his ex-wife, his dead wife, saying,
video of his dead wife, which is like, holy, already I'm like, what the fuck? And I rewound the movie like 10 seconds just to watch it again before even seeing the video. Because I'm like, is this happening? What's happening?
And she's like, you hear somebody in the background saying, tell him. And then she's like, hey, Tony, just wanted to let you know that I'm seeing this girl. And then it ends. Yeah, Sam.
Because her name, I guess, is Sam, too. And then she, and then the girl walks in and goes, hey, baby, what are you doing? And that's how the film ends. So he is having sex with the woman.
Who was having an affair.
With his wife. What is the end goal of this lady?
Okay, that's a good question.
What is she trying to do?
Ulterior motives. I want to see a sequel to this film, and I want to know that she is a government spy.
There are a lot of fun twists and interesting ideas in this. I just don't think they're executed very well because they don't make any sense. What is the main theme or idea you're supposed to take away from this film, Dan?
I don't know.
Is there like a statement on politics and how like politicians can get away with things?
No,
that was
really
a huge focus.
Well, I mean,
of this.
I guess because he's the mayor, that would make sense. But I was just more drawn into the narrative. Like, just getting away with murder is, you know, that's the big theme of this film.
I feel like the whole movie should have been focused on them getting away with the murder and not like a 10-month skip to like everything's fine now.
Yeah.
I can't believe this movie wasn't like, okay, now everyone's life is ruined because they did a murder. Like, the mayor gets reelected. Everyone's fine. Nothing bad really happens. Even with that twist at the end, that's not really a bad thing that happens.
Yeah.
It was just so strange how the bad guys are like, we did it. But does the film think of these characters as bad people?
That's what was confusing. I don't think it does. Like,
yeah,
at that point, the twist then becomes like, serves you right. You know, you killed the wrong dude because you're a fucking idiot. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Well, wait a minute.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Ulterior motive? Maybe Sam held a grudge against Tony at that party and she seduced his wife to get back at him for dumping her.
Dude, if only they did some kind of old boy shit. Where the lady Sam, just, like, went on a fucking monologue of, like, I orchestrated all of this to fuck you over, and here's what I'm doing. That would have been so amazing. And, like, what if she was, like, there, and she videotaped them fucking burying the body, and she had, like, all the evidence, and she releases
it,
like, 10 months
later. And then she, like, straps him down to a chair and, like, takes his teeth out with a hammer.
Holy shit. That happens in Old Boy, everybody. It's just so everyone's not confused. Go see Old Boy. I thought that would have been really cool.
Yeah.
Of her having this insane revenge. Because then that would have made the whole past scenes make sense of her getting, you know, fucking snubbed by him, you know, back then and everything. That would have all been so good all tied together. But, you know, it's not. And it's just kind of like loosey-goosey. I don't know. And I think it is detrimental to my enjoyment of the film.
I can see your point, but it didn't bother me. I will say that.
Yeah.
Like I was very much enjoying every aspect of the film, despite like you know the strangeness of the. I'll say this: this film, at its climax and its twist, did something that I've never seen a film do before.
Okay.
Is that fair?
What do you mean by that, I guess? Can you elaborate?
Well, no, that whole twist was like, why? Like, what just happened? Like, look, if you see my note here, very, very
what?
Big. As a...
But doing something unexpected isn't necessarily good if it doesn't, I don't know, if it doesn't, like, fit with what's going on with the film.
Well, I think to your point is if they just had explained things better and added more narrative. So this film probably could have benefited from being longer is what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe. I also think them focusing on the campaign stuff, they could have cut back on that.
Yeah, I agree.
I think a lot of that was a bit unnecessary and I know it was trying to build on Jules as a character and like really, but it just felt like we were focusing on him. I'm like, is he the main character? What's going on? I thought Tony was the main focus of this movie.
No, the main focus of the movie was the friendship.
Yeah.
And that didn't necessarily, that's the issue. That wasn't 100% relevant or not relevant. Mm-hmm. That wasn't 100% given to us over time. I started to understand, oh, this is their story. not just individual stories. See, that's what it was. It didn't necessarily build on that kinship, but then again, because of that grudge, they couldn't necessarily build on the kinship. It just felt like a group of high school friends came together and committed a murder on accident.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's my question to you. Have you ever held a grudge for 20 years from someone? Especially over something like so trivial?
No.
I felt like the grudge should have been something way more severe. Like,
yeah, it would have made more sense, yes.
Way more traumatizing. And then, okay, first 10 minutes, you're focusing on the kids at the party, and then the event happens. Whatever that is, some huge event that's like torn them apart, and they haven't really talked to each other. For, yeah, they ritualistically murder the pizza guy.
And get away with it.
Yeah, and they get away with it. And they're like, hey, we could do that again. Let's try it again, buddies. So, okay, and then after that, the next 20 minutes is them, like, trying to come together. Like, they're all trying to reminisce, and they're trying to, like, you know, we're getting to know the characters. And then after that, we have the big inciting incident where Tony is super drunk. Okay, scenes I liked. When Tony is getting really drunk and he smashes the guitar on the computer.
Oh, that was
really
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's some really cool scenes in this movie. I liked it when they were all sitting around the table and the camera was like moving
was
around
really
the
cool
table
too.
And they were talking. That was really good. There's some really interesting ideas in this. I liked the police officer scene. I thought that was done really well. There's a shot where the camera is in the car and it's going to the back of the car and the lights are going like red and blue, and it shows Jules is like framed in the back of the window talking to the police officer. You can't see the cop.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought the framing on that was really nice. So there's some really interesting ideas there. I just feel like the main thrust of the story wasn't strong enough to support all the other really cool things going on. Like, the music I thought was really great.
Well, here's the deal,
Jared. The adult actors were pretty good.
I agree. Now,
camera work was good. Go ahead.
Here's the deal. Yeah. Despite all of the shortcomings that we've listed, and, like, I agree with some of them, I disagree with some of them, doesn't matter. Like, we have different opinions.
Sure.
I would still recommend this film. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm really looking forward to, like, pushing it and, like, getting people onto Troma's website and, like, you know, just watch films. Watch films,
yeah,
guys.
Dude. Just watch some films, guys.
All right, so that's our closing thoughts. Hey, guys, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Go check out thenecropodicon.com. If you go to thenecropodicon.com, that is like Necronomicon, but with a podicon at the end, if that makes sense. You can click on the link to the Discord and come hang out with us and all the other really cool podcasts that are on the network. And we just like to have fun, you know? I mean, recently, Dan, our fucking show has been doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
I actually started doing some, like, really cheapo ads, and I feel like that's helping.
Yeah.
Getting us. So if you're new to the show, hi, hello, welcome. Thank you for listening this far. And
and if you're new to the show, why aren't you following us yet?
Oh,
you've
my
had,
God,
like, 2 days, guys. Twitter, at IndieFilmPod. Instagram, at IndieFilmReviewPod. Email, theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Time is wasting.
Dude, our email's blowing up. It's out of control. But yeah, thank you everybody for listening. I appreciate you. And Dan, you have the final word.
It's irrational, sometimes intentional. I'm telling truth, I am getting away with murder.
Vampires, demons, apples, mice, gnomes, barbarians, saxophones, dice. Fate of Ison is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast from New Zealand. The players are comedians, and the Dungeon Master is very, very patient. Check out fateofison.com to discover fan art, cast profiles, and a whole new world of adventure.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.